And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Travis Johnson and Matt Raines, here to talk about their production of a wonderful play by Chekhov, The Cherry Orchard, which will open this Thursday, March 13th, here at UL Lafayette. And as we were saying before, it's kind of the year for Chekhov in Lafayette. Just seems to be his time here. People very interested in it, directors. Uncle Vanya was just produced by AUI, and now you're opening this play this week. And as we were mentioning, we have something with the Three Sisters coming up later on this year as well. So I don't know if maybe we should just start off talking about why.
Why? Well, that's a really good question. I thought when the university asked me, when the performing arts department asked me to direct something, obviously one of my favorite authors and one of the most well-known playwrights of all time, Anton Chekhov, would be the best way to go. The reason that I want that is because I studied in Moscow. I trained in Moscow. I speak Russian. I've performed in Russian. My theater company, Studio 6 in New York, we do a lot of Russian, Eastern European-based forms of training and productions.
What is it about Chekhov? Talk just a bit about Chekhov and why. I mean, he is one of the most famous, best playwrights. But what is your take on Chekhov, and what draws you to Chekhov?
Well, I mean, there's really a phenomenon around Chekhov. He created a new measure in theater, and that was the measure of time passing. That he took dramatic events, but he brought them down to a micro level, jumping between the smaller moments of real life. The biggest events that happen in his plays, they happen offstage, they happen between the acts. We never see the really, really big stuff. Every now and again, yes. But what we see is how people deal between those events and how they deal with each other. How he wrote human relationships is unrivaled.
Well, and it's often about, as you said, those moments, those small family moments taking place in the living room or in the garden, just conversations between people, but showing that momentous things, actually directions in families change from those small moments.
They do, and especially in these Chekhovian pauses. A lot of people like to make jokes about the pauses. They don't understand them. They don't understand why. And I don't even necessarily understand why. But what's happening in those pauses? Are two people staring at each other? Is one person looking longingly at another from across the river? What do you feel in that, and how do you live through those moments?
What do you mentioned that you were in Russia for quite a while. How long did you spend?
I studied there for 4 years, and I graduated from the Moscow Art Theater School as part of an experimental American class to go through the full 4-year conservatory training program. And my class, we graduated in 2005, and we formed a theater company. As I mentioned, our name is Studio 6, which we were named by the head of the Moscow Art Theater School, Anatoly Smelyansky. He dubbed us Studio 6 as the sixth studio offshoot of the Moscow Art Theater. There have been historically, before us, there were 5 studios that existed with actors and directors like Michael Chekhov, Vakhtangov, Meyerhold, and we were the sixth. And actually, a few years later, there was a 7th that was created, and they're existing in Moscow.
Well, right, that's now quite a compliment that he gave you all then.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how do people see Chekhov in Russia today?
Well, today, they know him so well that directors can take new takes on Chekhov, different ways to look at it. They've seen the old classical staging hundreds, if not thousands of times. And people know these characters so well, and it is so much a part of their culture that they're able to look at it from different perspectives, using different theatrical conventions, maybe even going completely outside of the box.
Sort of like we see Shakespeare put into World War II or something.
Yes,
here.
Sometimes things like that, and sometimes even far more abstract.
Well, and you speak Russian.
Yes.
And you've obviously seen Chekhov performed many times in Russian, perhaps acted or were in a production yourself. What is Because you hear about that in translation. There's always a difficulty, and sometimes translations are older, and the language is from another time when it was translated. How do you deal with that issue?
Well, we've come across that issue many times. Initially, when we were students, comparing the Russian text to one of the translations we were using. And it's easy to get frustrated if you're bilingual to think that the translator is taking liberties with the text. I used to get very upset about that, but now I've realized after going through some translating myself and with a group with my theater company that you have to make some interpretations. One of the characters in the play, his name is Fierce, and he's an old butler. And he keeps calling the young servants this word, nedostyopa, which has no direct translation in English. The closest thing we've been able to find is nincompoop. So that's the word that we use. And it's clear that it's a word that means nothing. How do you define a nincompoop? There's no way. But
you're close enough.
You're close, yeah.
You're close enough. And it doesn't change Chekhov's intent or
no,
the relationships
not.
Between people.
Definitely not. Yeah. And ultimately, even Russians take liberties with the text. Mm-hmm. They will cut lines out. They will change things. They will move different areas around, all to bring the highest effect possible.
Well, I want to tell people who may just be tuning with us in with us, we're talking about Chekhov's play, The Cherry Orchard. It's being produced here at UL Lafayette with the Performing Arts Department. My guests are Travis Johnson and Matt Raines. Matt is directing the play. Travis, you are in charge of all the tech and staging.
Yes. I'm the technical director and scenic designer, but we do have a student lighting designers and sound designers.
Okay, so. And I've seen a photograph that was extremely arresting on Facebook today. The set looks quite nice.
Oh, good.
Okay, great.
Arresting in a good way.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So how did you go about creating a set design for the play? As you mentioned, there, people take all kinds of liberties and I mean, it's an extremely creative part of theater, the set design.
Let me start out, and then I want Travis to pick up from there because I wanted him to bring his ideas to me, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted when I came in. And we were talking a little bit, and Travis has designed a lot, and he's done all sorts of things. But he was initially of the mind that I wanted a boxed set, that we were inside the house, so let's show the house as rich as possible. And I said, no. I want things to represent items in the house, but I want it to be able to be free and open and to focus on the characters and not so much of what's going on around them. And Travis, you take it from there. Once I told you, you got to be free with elements.
I think basically we started talking about the show and boiling it down to the smallest, most general element. What is the show about? What is the environment we're creating? And you know, it just kind of morphed into many different ideas. But honestly, I think we're very postmodern with this piece. We're taking a lot of older traditions and kind of throwing a new twist on them. The design is very traditional in an idea of a wing and drop system, but we've thrown in some surprises. We're not afraid to tell you we're in a theater, which is great.
Well, for those people who have not read or seen the play, maybe let's set it and so they can have a sense of what you've been doing with it. So the title is The Cherry Orchard.
Yes.
How does that fit in with the set? Where it's, you mentioned a house. Are we in a country house?
We are in a country estate that has a famous cherry orchard, the most famous cherry orchard in all the district. This is an estate that you could probably best compare it to old plantations in the South. That in order for the estate to survive, Russia had serfdom, very similar to the United States having slavery. The difference was there were major differences, but one of the differences is that you actually owned human souls. That was what it was to own a serf. You owned their soul. Even beyond death.
That's Gogol's book.
Yes, Dead Souls. It actually comes down to that. And eventually serfdom faded away. And then, of course, you're not able to work and make money the way that you were used to. And so this family is – their money is dwindling. And the woman who owns the estate returns from being abroad for 5 years. She owes a lot of money on the mortgage. She cannot pay off her debts. And they need to come up with a plan of how to sell off or save the orchard before August 22nd when it goes up for auction.
Oh, mm-hmm. And hence the conflict.
Yes.
Sell
so the cherry
or save.
Orchard. The cherry orchard.
And everything that represents. Yes. So how do you represent a cherry orchard on stage? Or did you try?
Well, yes. Actually, mm-hmm. The cherry orchard's omnipresent. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying by any means to create a realistic tree. I mean, mm-hmm. I might as well just go out and find a tree that's blooming and chop it down and put it on stage if that's the case. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of inference, the shape, the tone, the quality. But the most interesting thing about the cherry orchard is the cherry blossom in spring. So in many ways, I wanted to see that bloom at all times. It didn't matter if we're in the spring or the autumn or the fall.
That's what's in their minds.
It's just, it's mm-hmm. always there. The, you know, that's the struggle. It's the change. It's mm-hmm. how are we going to do this? And they don't want to change. They, yeah. It's their tradition.
Do we lose
it's
that
honor.
Beauty?
Mm-hmm. How do we save the cherry orchard? And the only ideas don't save the cherry orchard. The only way to save themselves is to destroy the things that they hold most dear to their family. It would be very much like a local family having to give up their
pecan orchard.
Yes, exactly. Or their hunting lease. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they have a little place on the Chafalaya that they always went for generations fishing with their family and so forth. And now things are tough, and they have to make a decision on, well, do we cut this out? How do we save it? Do we sell it and take the proceeds and pay our debts off? You know, all of those things are going through these people's minds, and it's just so hard for us to change.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just a decision about property, but about family and traditions and generations.
Change, no matter what, mm-hmm. it is the only constant. Mm-hmm. And you can put everything under the umbrella of change, but it is the only thing that will happen.
Well, Matt, as you've spent all that time in Russia, created this wonderful Studio Six, and have done plays in New York. You've come to the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. You're working with students.
Yes,
now.
I'm teaching 3 classes and directing the
mm-hmm.
show.
How do you instruct students at this level about Chekhov? About talking about Chekhov, people get very reverential, almost like talking about Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. How have you instructed them to approach Chekhov, this play, their parts?
The way that I approach it is, you know, sometimes his characters can be a bit outlandish, but so can we as people. Mm-hmm. To not think of them as something that is larger than life, but that is life. I don't want to approach this in any other way than they would approach a contemporary play. The only things that are different are the circumstances in which they live – time, clothing, status. And even then, we still have all of those things now. It's just a different era. And I think the important thing to remember when dealing with Chekhov or dealing with any play is nobody knows exactly how it should be. Let's start out with the most basic thing. Who are they? What do they want? Love is love is love. And we're all trying to make connections with each other in some way or another. And deep down, we're all very lonely at one core place. So what are the things that we do to connect with other people? What are the things that are important in us and in them that makes us want to connect with them?
Mm-hmm. How are they responding to that?
I think very well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be confusing. These are great philosophical questions that have no answers.
They better get used to that.
Yeah.
Things having no answer.
But I think the important thing is to try to teach empathy. If you can understand the way a person could feel, it doesn't matter if you've lived through it or not. If you can understand the way a person feels and feel for them, then that's the beginning of how to create art.
Mm-hmm. Who are your student actors in this play?
Would you like me to list them?
Could,
let's see.
Maybe the main characters?
Well, the characters themselves, mm-hmm. The woman who owns the estate, her name is Lubov Andreevna Ranevskaya. It's a mouthful. She has a brother named Leonid Andreevich Gaev. Mm-hmm. She also has a daughter, Anya, an adopted daughter, Varya, and that is the meat of the family. A local merchant who is the son of serfs and a friend of the family. When she returns to her estate, he comes because he has loved the family for years, and he's loved her for years. He has a plan to help save the orchard, to cut it down, subdivide, split it into lots, sell it off to summer cottages for people, and they'll have as much money as they want.
Sounds so simple.
It is so simple. Easy way to get money. And there are other characters, people who work in the house, local neighbors, who all come in and are all a part of this wacky adventure they go through.
Well, who are the actors who are playing those main parts?
We have two actresses playing Lubov Andreevna. Our main actress is Desiree Noriega, and our understudy, who has two performances. I won't tell you which ones because you should come to any show that you're available to.
Or a couple of them.
Mary Frances Hoag is her last name, I believe.
Hoag.
Lots of names down here I'm not familiar with. Our Lopakhin, who is the merchant, he is played by Aaron Despany. And he is a fairly new actor on the UL Lafayette stage, but he is doing an amazing job of trying everything he can to save this family.
Well, all right. We look forward to seeing them on stage, on the UL stage in Burke Hawthorne Hall Theater. And again, if you have not yet been to a production in the theater, you have to give yourself a treat and see this beautiful jewel of a little theater that was so beautifully renovated when the building was renovated about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
Just gorgeous. They've kept a lot of the feeling of the late 1930s stage and theater, but have made it more intense with that stadium seating.
Not to give anything away, but you'll be able to experience that charm of the theater as the theater.
And you will have some unexpected surprises.
We'll look forward to that as well. If you are tuning in, we're talking about Chekhov's play, The Cherry Orchard. It opens this Thursday, March 13th. My guests are Matt Rains, who is directing the play, Travis Johnson, who is in charge of the technical and scenes set for the play. Lots of students working on this production as well. If you'd like more information, you can call the Performing Arts Department, but you can just show up and get your tickets, what, an hour ahead of time?
Yes, we start selling at the box office in Burke Hall at 6:30.
Okay, and the performances are at 7:30. Are there any matinees?
There's one matinee on the second Saturday.
Saturday the 22nd at 2 p.m. And we also have an evening show to close it out on the 22nd at 7:30.
Okay, the final day. So 2 weekends, this weekend and the following weekend as well, you can see Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard. Are there tickets that you can get ahead of time? I don't know if you've set up that up. Just you should get them
in. Yeah, you should. You can check the website, but I'm not sure if we're hooked up to do that anymore. The safest thing is to show up the day of the performance early enough to pick up your ticket and run away for a moment and then come on back and join us.
Right. And a reminder that UL students get in free with their ID?
Yes, students, staff, and faculty free with ID, and it's general admission. Anyone who's not affiliated with the university, it's $10 general admission. And if you're a senior or a student at another university or high school and bring your ID, we'll give you a bit of a discount.
Okay, so all of you high school students listening out there, and there are a lot right now too, please attend.
Yeah, please do. And families can attend. This is a family-friendly show. There's no harsh language. It's all about love and the absence of it, and it will be good for all ages. Maybe no babies.
Yeah. Well, and you too can learn what to do if you ever have to sell your cherry orchard
yes.
or your hunting lease.
Yes.
You can figure out from Chekhov's play. Anton Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard opens on Thursday. Matt Rains directing and Travis Johnson working with the play as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.